All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, for the message tonight. I'm actually going to pick up where I left off this morning. I'm going to read a different passage of Scripture. It's the same story, the exact same as what I read this morning out of Mark, chapter 16. But tonight I want to read out of Acts, chapter 1. And then I want to talk to you a little bit more about the great commission that was given to the disciples to take the gospel into all the world and preach it to every creature. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Now that former treatise is the book of Luke. That he is making a reference to here. So Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and so he says the former treatise is of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath placed in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." I'll stop reading right there. And I want you to go back now and look at verse 8, for in verse 8 we have the commission, what we call the Great Commission. For our purposes here, verse 8 is the summation of it, where he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me," both in Jerusalem, that was their town, Judea, that was their county, and then Samaria, that was their region, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. That's global. And that is the same thing that Mark recorded that Jesus said in the text that I read for you this morning. Now, this morning, we looked at the Great Commission as a concept. We looked at this this concept that was presented to the disciples on how his gospel message was to be handled, how it was to be distributed throughout mankind. And you need to remember now that this was before media. This was before newspapers. This was before radio and television and the internet. Christ came to this earth with the entire world on his heart, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. I mean, he saw all of us when he was here to die on Calvary's cross. And I pointed out to you this morning, and I hope you got the point, that the scriptures clearly tell us that Jesus died on that cross for the sins of the entire world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, tonight, I want us to take a look at what the gospel accomplished. What the gospel accomplished. You know, I have preached from this and many, many times, and preached on the Great Commission with the mindset to motivate you to be a soul winner. And thank God many of you have been motivated in that direction. But tonight, or this morning and tonight, I want us to stand back and look at this Great Commission. I want us just to step back from it a little bit. And tonight I want to show you what the gospel accomplished. And I want you to listen very carefully and trust God will speak to our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, thank you for the gospel. And we are all here tonight because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, someone shared that gospel with us. Could have been a preacher. It could have been a soul winner. Could have been a gospel tract. It could have been a radio broadcast or a television broadcast. Who knows? But Lord, somebody shared that gospel with us. And when we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives were changed. And Father, many folks sitting right here tonight, had you told them that on the 30th of October in 2011, they would be sitting in the church, the open door, listening to the pastor preach, they would have laughed and said, oh, there's no way. But Lord, the gospel changes hearts. And we get a hungering and a thirsting for the things of God. And so, Lord, tonight, quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger. And Lord, give us, I pray, an understanding of what this gospel has accomplished and how thankful we should be that we have been entrusted with this same gospel that, Lord, you've given us the opportunity to share it with someone else. So, Father, bless tonight. Fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go back for a minute to our Lord's business plan. You remember this morning I told you that, and we read it right here also in Acts. He gets the disciples on the Mount of Olives. He is getting ready to go back to heaven. He's got them standing right there in front of him. And basically he gathers them around and says, boys, I want you to take the gospel to every person around the world. The more I think about it, the more astounding that is to me. And then you keep reading in the book of Acts and you will see that basically is what the disciples did. Now, they struggled a little bit at first. They struggled a little bit. It started out at Pentecost, and I have preached to you before in chapter 2, how that in verse 9 through verse 11, there were all these nations that were in town for the celebration of Pentecost. And then the disciples were filled with the Spirit, and they stand up and start preaching. And when they did, here were all these people from all these foreign countries. They did not speak the language, and yet they were able to understand as Peter preached the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The miracle at Pentecost was not in the speaking. The miracle at Pentecost was in the hearing. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that they were all amazed, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So here they were soul winning. Here they were telling people how to get saved. And the people that they were telling did not speak the same language as the apostles, but yet these people could understand when the apostles spoke. And they were confused. They were amazed. They said, wow, we've never seen anything like this. Well, the point is, they had a commission, they had a duty, they had a job, but they were not left to do that job alone. They had some help from the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit aided them and assisted them. And with the aid of the Holy Spirit, it all started on this day of Pentecost. And then what do you think all those folks that got saved at Pentecost did? Well, they didn't stay in Jerusalem. They went home. And just like this fellow that Brother Jim was talking about a moment ago, I dare say that as soon as they got home, they said, family, come here, gather around. I've got to tell you the most amazing thing that I learned when I was in Jerusalem. And then the dad would sit down and share the gospel with his family. I can see churches starting all over Cappadocia. I can see churches starting all over Mesopotamia. I mean, it's just how the gospel has always worked. Now, the disciples, they were told to go into all the world, but they didn't want to leave. You remember that? They decided they didn't want to go. So persecution came. God allowed persecution to come, and that persecution is what scattered them out of Jerusalem. And the next thing you know, there are churches being established in Damascus and in Tyre and Sidon, and there are churches in Antioch. All these places are in Syria and Lebanon to the north. There are churches that are being established in all the areas around. Why? Because they could not stay in Jerusalem and accomplish what Jesus challenged them to do. So he told them, you go into all the world. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on what the concept given by the Lord Jesus to these disciples accomplished. You know, sometimes a person will have a great idea, but they never see their ideas fulfilled. Isn't that true? Sometimes somebody will have a great idea, but they just never see their ideas fulfilled. Somewhere, or sometimes, that great idea just goes nowhere. It just goes nowhere. Sometimes in contact with rude reality, an idea can get crushed and destroyed beyond recognition. That's sort of what happened in the last election. Hello. Now, y'all got to admit, I haven't said a whole lot lately. I'm itching to say a few things tonight. We saw this come to fruition in the last election. If you remember right, we were told just before the election that if Obama was elected, we were all going to see the world enter into the millennium. Do you remember that? It was going to be wonderful if this man was elected president. There were news stories and articles written and commercials on TV about how all the nations of the world were all of a sudden going to love us. Remember that? There would be a new spirit in America that would permeate throughout the whole globe. Even the weather, they said, would appreciate the new spirit of kindness. And global warming would cease and the levels of the oceans would subside. Oh, baloney. And none of that's panned out, has it? I mean, none of that is worked out. You know, I've told you before, socialism has never worked and is not going to work this time. It has been tried and it has failed every time it's been tried. And it's not going to work here in America as they're trying it now. I want to remind you folks that before Jesus came, there was a philosopher by the name of Plato who wrote a book entitled Republic. You remember that from school? It was a pattern of what a state would be like if it was run by the wisest people who had the very best in heart for the people of that state. And you know what? It sounds like a great idea on paper, but it doesn't work. You know, there is a principle in the Bible. If a man won't work, he doesn't eat. Now, granted, you say, well, what if somebody's physically unable? That's where God's people come in. That's where charity comes in. But for the government to take your money and my money and then redistribute it, now that's just not biblical. That is just not biblical. And God is not going to bless that kind of system. He did not bless it in Russia. He is not blessing it in Europe. And he will not bless it in America. You mark it down. Let me remind you, 400 years ago, it was tried in France. And they put a good spin on it by calling it the French Revolution. Is that word ringing bells to you? It ought to, because that's what they're calling for right now. They're calling for revolution in America. The French Revolution was what was conceived in some socialist minds, and it was supposed to bring the ideal kingdom. Its watchwords were liberty, equality, and fraternity, and was promoted as being able to bring in the golden age to mankind. So big with promise was the conception, was the idea, that enthusiasts were going around giving speeches and declaring that if men will just follow the leaders in this new revolution, that all would be bliss in France. Well, that didn't turn out too good. As a matter of fact, it didn't work at all. France's hopes were soon dashed, and all of their aspirations were shattered, and the prison populations exploded, and guillotines were set up in the town squares, and the streets of France ran red with the blood of slaughtered men. Its concept was one of peace and prosperity, but it was nothing but a scene of human carnage. And the socialist utopia didn't pan out. Folks, it never pans out. Please realize that. Now, I want you to think of those novel ideas and compare them to the concept of the Lord Jesus and his wonderful promise of a worldwide kingdom. Slowly and silently, it made its way from Jerusalem to other nations. And it kept going from nation to nation, continent to continent, until it has gone literally around the globe. I told you this morning that I've been able in my ministry to travel, and everywhere I've gone, every nation that I've been to, the gospel is already there. I'm not taking the gospel there and it's something new. I'm taking the gospel there to reach people because the gospel has not been, it has not been worked like it's supposed to be worked. The trouble is not the gospel. The trouble is us working the gospel. See? And I'm simply saying that the accomplishment of Christ's concept is an actual fact that can be seen with a human eye. The gospel has literally been spread around the world. Folks, listen, we need to realize that the gospel has already been spread around the world, and yet we're not seeing revival. Why? Because Christians and churches just aren't what we're supposed to be. We're just not. Now, I want you to think with me of the uniqueness of this spread. Think of the uniqueness. Folks, there is not another religion in all the world that can make the same boast as can Christianity. These disciples did not go out from Jerusalem and carry Judaism to the world. They carried Christianity to the world. And remember, Judaism was, and still is, a selective religion. But the apostles went out to the world with their message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it spread like wildfire. As a matter of fact, it spread to where we're all sitting here tonight. I'd say it was a success, wouldn't you? Now, let's stop right here for a minute. And I want you to compare what the apostles did. Look at your Bible. Look at the top where it says the name of this book. What's it called? The Acts what? Of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. And you know what? You read this book and you get over to the end of this book and it just ends. It's not the end of the story. But the story just ends. And it's almost like when you get to the end, there's a dot, dot, dot. As if to say, it's still being written. And there was another chapter put on it tonight by Jim's testimony. There was another chapter put on it tonight with Pastor Chris's testimony. I mean, every time the gospel is delivered and every time somebody gets saved, there is another chapter written onto the end of the book. As God is keeping account of what the church, what His church is doing. Now, you think about all these wonderful soul winning experiences and all these wonderful churches that were planted. And you think about all the wonderful things that were done in the book of Acts. Think about it for a minute. Man, you should not be surprised that it came across the creek and we're all sitting here tonight saved. These guys, they did the job. And you know what? If we'll do the job, we'll get some fruit too. If we'll do the job, these preachers will stop by here. They'll stop. They'll be in the area and they'll stop by and they'll say, man, how do you get this big a church? How do you get a church this size? And I just look at them and I say, well, it's because I'm such a wonderful preacher. What are you talking about? And they'll laugh just like you laughed. Because you know, you and I both know that ain't got nothing to do with it. It's amazing if you look at it in that light that anyone is here. You know why we have what we have? It's because we've got some people that take this commission seriously. And God looks down and says, look at them. They're going down to Baltimore to win souls. Look at them. They're going over here to the Tawny Town Fair. Look at them. They're going down here to Mayberry. Look at this. And they just keep winning souls. They just keep telling. Look at them. They're supporting those missionaries. Isn't that wonderful? Look here. This guy's planting a church and Church of the Open Door is sponsoring him and helping him plant that church. And God says, you know what? I believe I'll just bless that. I believe I'll just put my blessing upon that. And so God speaks to your heart and gets you to come to church here. And then you come and you join and you start giving. And that enables us to just keep doing what we're doing. Now, about every 2 or 3 weeks, a bunch get mad and leave. You know, I didn't speak to them when I walked down the hall. You know. I said this, I said that. Nobody asked them to sing. You know, you didn't ask me to be an usher. Well, I'm leaving. I mean, listen, it doesn't take a whole lot. Trust me. It doesn't take a whole lot. And so you'll look around, you'll see an empty seat every now and then, but then it's not long for somebody sitting in that seat. Then we lose by attrition. Some folks get old and sick and they die. We've had a lot of that lately. And so, you know, we lose a few. We lose a few. Not, but you know what happens? God just sends somebody else. Why? Because the work is what it's all about. Amen. And as long as we just keep doing the plan, God will bless the plan. Now, compare that to a couple of other... Let's compare that to Islam, for example. Let's compare that to Islam. We have learned that that Islam is Christianity flipped upside down. It's a religion inspired by God's great enemy, Satan, as the antithesis to Christianity. Now, granted, in its doctrine, the belief is that Islam will conquer the world for Allah. They all believe that. And yet, for almost 1,400 years, Islam has basically stayed in the Middle East. Basically. It stayed in the Middle East, in North Africa, southwestern Asian countries, for the most part. It has not been until the last 20 years or so that it has sought to branch out into other countries. And it's doing that right now in a major way. Coming into America, coming into Europe, coming into Canada. And how it accomplishes its mission is the exact opposite of how Jesus told his disciples they were supposed to spread the word of his kingdom. The Muslim is told to use the sword. Use the sword. If you won't submit to Allah, you're to have your head chopped off. You say, well, that's not what they believe. Read their stuff. Yes, it is. It most certainly is. But the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye love one another. I wonder why Islam has just stayed over in the Middle East. I wonder why, hey, it's 1,400 years old. Why hasn't it spread over here into America and opened its doors and welcomed people? Why? I'll tell you, because it's Christianity flipped upside down. That's why Jesus said, you and I are to love the world to Christ. Muhammad said, you take the sword and you force them to Allah. It's no wonder it stayed over there. It's no wonder. And now you got a bunch of socialists in charge who started all this political correctness garbage. And you can't tell the truth now. You can't tell the truth about Islam. You can't do it anymore. Boy, you'll get in trouble. You're a radical if you do. You're a hate monger if you do. And the Muslim is told to use the sword. Don't make any mistake about that, folks. In Islam, the infidel is to be killed for his rejection of Allah. But the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, listen, you go out and tell somebody, if they reject me as their Savior, you just wipe the dust off your feet and you go tell somebody else. I don't think the Lord would have us kill them for not receiving Christ. And folks, that's exactly how the gospel got to you and got to me. Now, the fact that the gospel has spread around the world is unlike anything else. I mean, it's unlike anything else. Within 30 years of Christ's ascension, 30 years from this chapter right here, Acts chapter 1, within 30 years, the gospel was already in what is today England. 30 years later. The gospel was there. Within 100 years, it had spread all over Europe. It was in Spain. It was in Scotland within 60 years. And today, the gospel of Jesus Christ has literally reached all over the globe. Folks, I'm saying that there is nothing like it in all of the history of the world. Buddhism did not spread. It stayed in Asia. Islam did not spread. It stopped when somebody got strong enough to stop them and stood up to them, and they stopped. There was no burning compassion to go and share the love of Allah with others. No, they stopped whenever somebody stood in front of them and stopped them. That's when it stopped. But the message of the gospel has just swept the world, and people heard the message of love and grace, and they believed on the name of Christ. And I have witnessed that myself in China. I've witnessed that in Japan. I've witnessed that in Ireland. I've witnessed it in the Philippines, in India, in South America. I've seen it with my own eyes. There's just something about that gospel and about that Savior that attracts people and say, I want that in my life. Amen. And the only explanation is that this message has been divinely blessed of God. Jesus promised the disciples that he would help them, and certainly he did. Now, folks, again, let me pause right here. Think for a minute. It's amazing how it spread when you think of all the forces that were against it. It's just amazing when you think of all that the forces allied against it. I mean, it had against it the power of the state. How many soul winners and how many preachers have been martyred by the powers that be? Millions through the years. We will not know the exact number until we get to heaven. But through sword and fire and bullets and rotting in jails and having their heads chopped off, the gospel of Jesus Christ still thrives today. And then, of course, there's all the false doctrine and heresies that have been used by the devil to destroy it and knock it off of its foundation. Man, all kinds of stuff has come out. All kinds of stuff. Cults. Heresies. But yet the gospel just keeps going. It just outshines them all. And then there's the great apostasy that has crept into the church over the last 100 years. I mean, in the last 100 years, folks, we have witnessed the greatest apostasy ever seen in the history of the church. And this has caused the true church to draw a line in the sand and declare itself separate from the mainstream of quote-unquote Christianity. Back 30, 40 years ago, when the Southern Baptists and the American Baptists started compromising, men pulled out and they declared themselves independent Baptists. They had to. They couldn't support a program that had liberalism in its colleges, had people on in leadership positions that didn't even believe that the Bible was the Word of God. So they had to pull out. And that's where the independent Baptist movement came from. And now, in the last about 15, 20 years, we have witnessed the various camps within fundamentalism. And we have to make decisions now based on who we're going to run with, as compromise has even filtered into fundamentalism and into the independent Baptist churches. The issues today, hey, I hate to tell you, but they're the same issues that our grandparents fought back in the 60s. Same issues. The inspiration of the scriptures. The preservation of the scriptures. Who we're going to fellowship with. The world. I tell you, the more I think about that, Lady Gaga thing, oh my soul. Folks, listen, you ever walk in here and you see a picture on the wall of Lady Gaga in all her splendor and glory, and before I preach, somebody gets up here, Michelle and Fran get up here and sing Lady Gaga's biggest hits, you will know that I have had a stroke and completely lost my mind. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What in the world is wrong with our world today. You know, there are men that I preached for 10 years ago, and they would never invite me to come back and preach for them. Because they have sold out. And I tell you what, there are men that I have had in this pulpit that I will never invite back. Because they've sold out. Truth is, folks, with all this division, fussing, fighting among ourselves, it's a wonder that men are still surrendering to go into all the world and preach the gospel as it is. But they are. Why? Because God's still calling people. That's why. There's a need. The truth is, every power that could wreck the gospel has been brought to bear on it since it was first delivered to the apostles. And yet, no matter where you go in the world, you will find people that have a little Bible in their hands. Oh, they might only have a portion of the Bible. They might just have a little bit of one book. But that little bit, they cherish it with every fiber of their being. I told you about being in Russia this morning. Tom Queter and I stayed in the same room. By the time we got to Moscow, we were zombies. We were so tired. And we got there, and it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And they told us, go to your rooms, sleep for a couple hours, come down at 7, eat dinner, and then you can go back and go to bed. So we went from the lobby upstairs. And we had packed our suitcases as light as we could so that we could stuff Bibles in our suitcases. We had dozens of Bibles, each one of us, on our person. And we were in the room, and Tom is a great big guy. He keeps threatening he's going to come to church here some Sunday as he's passing through, but I don't know that he has. If he has, he hasn't said anything to me. But he keeps saying, I'm going to come, I'm going to come, I'm going to come. He's a card. If he comes, I'll have him pray and give his testimony. He's a wonderful guy. Great big old tall guy, and he was all stretched out on one bed, and I was stretched out on the other bed, and we were just both gone. And just as we laid down on the bed, you heard. And I kind of opened one eye, and I said, what was that? I said, is somebody at the door? He said, well, if they are, they're not knocking very loud. And I sat up on the edge of the bed, and I heard. And I said, Tom, there's somebody at the door. He said, I hear that. So I got up, and I walked over in a little peephole, you know, and I'm up there looking through the little peephole, and there was a guy standing out there, and he's looking down both directions like this, and he's knocking on our door. And I opened the door, and I said, can I help you? And he looked at me and he said, Biblos? Biblos? America? Biblos? He wanted to know, did I have a Bible? Would I give him a Bible? And I said, you want a Bible? And he nods his head, Biblos, Biblos. I went back in, I unzipped my suitcase, I pulled out a Bible, a Russian Bible, and I came over and I handed it to him, and he took it in his hands. Tears started streaming down his face. He opened it up, and he leafed through it to make sure it was all there, and then he closed it up, and he said, spasiba, spasiba, thank you, thank you. And he fell down on his knees, grabbed me around the ankles, and started kissing my feet. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good grief, we've got leather-bound editions that we spent $130 for, and we don't read it. Here's a man that was willing to put it all on the line to knock on the door of the American. Worked at the hotel, by the way. He was an employee. He saw us checking in. He knew what we were. And he risked everything just to get a Bible. Truth is, folks, every power has been against it. But the gospel still thrives. Now, very quickly, let me give you one more thing. Just one more thing, quickly, I promise. Think with me now of the obligation that we have today. Think of what is our obligation. Folks, I think it is the duty of all of us to realize that what we owe to this command. What do you and I owe to this command? What do we owe? Well, I submit to you that there would not be a United States of America today had the gospel not come over with those who left the tyranny, the religious persecution, and the socialism of Europe. Can you picture America without the gospel? I can't. For freedom to preach the gospel is why they came here. And we are still free today because not every church and not every preacher has given up the truth. Folks, I'm saying we've got to stay after souls. We've got to keep preaching the gospel. We've got to keep running the buses. We've got to keep the programs going. We've got to keep soul winning going. We cannot quit. We cannot give it up. We cannot stop. We cannot get weary in well-doing. We cannot say, well, you know, maybe the guy across the road's right. Maybe we would do better if we brought the Wiggle Sisters in here to sing and, had the ooh baby singers up here, maybe we just might be on to something. No! No, 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 no. Let's stay with what has worked. And what works is just carrying out the plan. What we need are more people that will say, hey, I'll carry out the plan with you. I'll help you. I know it gets more difficult each passing Sunday, and it doesn't help when a newspaper runs articles and makes it look like, hey, this is it, man. This is the way to go. This is the way the church is headed. Sorry, we're not going for that ride. Yeah, it gets more difficult, but one soul at a time. That's how it spread from Jesus to us today. It came here one soul at a time. Somebody told you, and now it is incumbent upon you to tell somebody else. That's how it will continue to spread, even as the number of those spreading it continues to decline. Christian, I want you to make up your mind that you're going to be a part of the plan. Just make up your mind. I mean, just make up your mind. You're going to do what the Lord Jesus commanded. You can't be accountable for every other believer, but you can be accountable to yourself. By prayer, by giving, by working, by serving, we can help the worldwide triumph of the gospel. Now, let me challenge you to re-enlist. Let me challenge you to re-enroll. Let me challenge you to re-energize. We're getting older, folks. We're getting older. But we, with age comes a certain degree of being weary. But let's don't get weary in well-doing. Let's just stay right after it. Just stay right after it. You may not be able to get up and go like you used to, but you can give better probably now than what you used to. You may not be able to get out there and ride on that old bus, but you can pray for those that are able to get out there and ride on that bus. We have a duty, folks. And the duty is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. May God help us to do our duty.